Good evening. It's nice to see you all here, and I'm surprised that y'all came, even though y'all heard that I was going to be preaching tonight. If you would, excuse me, if you'd go ahead and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9. That's where I'll be starting in a little bit, if I can find it. But before that, I'd like to thank the elders for this opportunity to get up here and preach. I was down in Dallas with my aunt and uncle, Bobby and Ken, and the men led the entire service. And it just really inspired me to ask the elders that if we could do this again. And 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. In like manner, also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Now, you'll notice from these two verses that my lesson tonight is going to be over modesty. And since the school year started, we've noticed that there are many men and women wearing inappropriate things, girls wearing tight pants, shorts, short skirts, and low-cut shirts. And it's real easy to think that it's just the women that do this, but guys can do it too. We can wear tight-fitting shirts. We can also wear lower-cut shirts for us. And you can also see us sagging, which I have no idea how anybody would find that attractive. And Ephesians 6:1, that's where we'll be turning to next. And children, obey your parents, for in the Lord this is right. Let me turn there real quick. We actually learn everything from our parents by their examples. And Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3, children, obey your parents Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And we see something very similar to this in Proverbs 22, verse 6. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. It's obvious that sometimes this isn't very true. We have members that will leave the church after they've left their parents' authority. Now, if you would please turn to James chapter 1 and verse 14 and 15. James 1 verses 14 through 15. It says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. All men are tempted, but God, we also know that God will not tempt us beyond what we are able. And like I said earlier, it's much easier to think that women would dress more modestly than it is to think that men would dress modestly. Like in 1 Timothy 2, verse 9, it says that women are to dress modestly. We're just trying to make it easier for us to go to heaven, so women, please cover up. And if you don't, us guys, we have dirty minds. It will provoke bad thoughts. It will provoke bad images. And you need not be messing with our spiritual salvation, and we'll try not to mess with yours. And I have a good friend who was telling me a story a while back about how his girlfriend was wearing immodest clothing. And he just had to sit down and talk with her, and he finally ended up breaking up with her because she would not change how she would dress. And then if you would please turn to Matthew 5 and 28. This is kind of moving into Nathan's territory. He'll be doing a lesson over lust this evening after me. It says, I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And lust is one of the many sins that will send us to hell, as will all sins. In Exodus 20, verse 14, it's one of the commandments, do not commit adultery. And in Matthew 5, verse 28. If you turn there with me, please. Matthew 5, verse 28. It says, "But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath already committed adultery with her in his heart." And it's saying, if you look upon this woman and lust after her, you think these evil thoughts, you've already committed this sin with her. So you're already sending yourself to hell. And Leviticus 20:10, if you also look there with me, it's a little bit farther. Leviticus 20, verse 10, it says, "And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall be put to death." In the Old Testament, this was a crime. This was a crime and a sin, punishable by death. Now, obviously, we don't have those crimes and punishments today. Well, we have the crimes. We don't have those punishments. I don't see why not. Well, we have no right to interfere with another person's salvation. And I said in Leviticus 20:10, the man and the woman shall both be put to death, and this will be in their sin. And Galatians 5, verses 16 through 17. If you'd also turn with me there. Galatians 5, 16 through 17. And it says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." And then now, there's a verse, Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." If we're seeking after God, we won't be dressing immodestly. We won't be having these evil thoughts. We won't be committing lusts in our hearts. And if you're seeking to please God, you'll try to stay away from all these evil things. As said in 1 Thessalonians 5:2, abstain from all sorts of evil. Guys, we need not look at these badly dressed women. And women, try to cover up for us, please. But if you have sinned, if you have lusted against, if you have lusted for a woman, and you have committed this sin, as said in Acts 2:38, Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." We see here that we can always repent, we can always be baptized if we hadn't ever taken that step. And now I'd like to turn the lesson over to Nathan.
Before we start with Nathan's part of the lesson tonight, my job will be to link the two lessons together with a scripture reading. That said, would you please turn with me to Proverbs chapter 4, and I'll be reading verses 23 through 29. I'm sorry, Proverbs 6. That was my mistake. "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law a light. Reproofs and instruction are the way of life, to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of a seductress. Do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids. For by all means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread, and an idolatress will prey upon his precious life. Can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? So is he who goes to his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her shall not be innocent."
Good evening. I'd like to thank everyone for coming out tonight, and I'd like to thank you also for giving me the opportunity to come up here and speak God's word. My intention tonight is not to express my opinion on how I believe about this subject, but instead my intention is to explain what the Bible says to the best of my ability. If there is anything that I say that is contrary to the Bible, I'd ask that later on you'd be let it be made known to me so that I may change what I say. Thank you, Skylar. Thanks, Kobe, for connecting my lesson. I'm hoping that I can fit in with Kobe's lesson really well, and tonight I'll be talking about lust and specifics in the Bible and stuff like that. I think it's proper, if we're going to talk about lust in the Bible, I think we need to explain first what the definition of lust is. It comes from the Greek word, if I'm pronouncing this right, epithumia. It is a desire, longing, craving, or desire for what is forbidden. It's actually used 36 times in the New Testament and way many more in the Old Testament. The title of my lesson is Lust. Is it really a big deal? Well, I think since it's mentioned that so many times in the Bible, I think it is a pretty big deal. But let's go ahead and look at some context in the Bible that pertain to lust. Please turn with me, as Skylar read, Proverbs 6. Please turn with me to Proverbs 6, 24 through 29. Proverbs 6, 24 through 29. It says, to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of a seductress, do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids. For by means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread, and an adulteress will prey upon his precious life. Can a man take fire to his bosom, and his clothes not be burned? Can one walk on hot coals, and his feet not seared? So is he who goes into his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her shall not be innocent. That's a really in-depth set of verses, and I really appreciate what it has to say. But the main point I want to talk about tonight is that Solomon wrote this. Solomon was the wisest man in the world at that time, and I think what we need to realize is if he's commanding us not to let lust into our lives, that he's the wisest man on the world, so we also should not, because you know we're not as wise as him, and we don't know the things that he knew. I think we need to realize by giving in to lust, we have sinned and also have become worthless. It says that we have become the crust of a bread. You know, it's worthless. I think we also need to realize that we cannot be emotionally stirred up and take fire to our bosom without being burned or without lusting, if you will. Please turn with me to Romans 6:12. Romans 6:12. Romans 6:12 says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey in its lusts. Lust is a strong desire, a longing, craving, desire for what is forbidden. Sin does have a lot of desires. It has a lot of temptations that are all around us all the time. If we let sin dwell in us, or if we let sin dwell around us by hanging out with immoral people, worldly people, we can fall into temptation and we can give in to lust, which is sin. If you'd please turn with me to Galatians 5:16. This was already read in Kobe's lesson, but Galatians 5:16, please. Galatians 5:16 says this, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I think what we need to realize is if we obey and walk in God's sight, we won't fall. And I think we also need to realize that if we slack, if we're lazy and we don't realize it, we can stumble and we can fall into sin. Please turn with me to Ezekiel 23, 4 through 6. Ezekiel 23, 4 through 6. It says this, their names, Aholah, the elder of Aholibah, her sister, they were mine, and they bore sons and daughters. As for their names, Samaria is Aholah, and Jerusalem is Aholibah. Ahola played the harlot even though she was mine, and she lusted for her lovers, the neighboring Assyrians, who were clothed in purple, captains and rulers, all of them desirable young men, horsemen riding on horses. The main point I want to talk about in this passage is that it's not only men who go through this struggle, it is also women. Women can lust too. The men described here were very handsome and valiant, and I think we need to realize that although it's mentioned all the other past verses about men, it can also, lust can happen to women as well. Well, I've talked about these verses, and you might be asking yourself, well, how does this apply to me? I'm not going out and lying with this woman or this man. I'm not going out and doing that. Well, I think, that's a good point that you would think of, and I think we need to talk a little bit more about how this applies to us in general. I want to talk about the example of David and Bathsheba in 2 Samuel 11, 2 through 4. 2 Samuel 11, 2 through 4. It says this, "Then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. So David sent and inquired about the woman. And someone said, 'Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?' Then David sent messengers and took her, and she came to him, and he lay with her. For she was cleansed from her impurity, and she returned to her house." I think we need to realize this from this passage, that this can happen to any one of us today. David was the king, of course, and he had the power. He had the ability to stop what was going on. He could have, he could have put a wall on top of his palace. He could have made the woman put a wall on top of her palace. He could have even made the woman not bathe on top of her roof. But instead, he gave into temptation. He lusted, and that eventually led to other lusts. He not only lusted, but as it says in Matthew 5:28, he lusts. And whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery in his heart. He's not only lusted, but lusted mentally, and which also committed adultery mentally, and he also physically committed adultery. To make this a little bit clearer, I'll give a real world example. Say you're walking down the street, maybe going to the park or something, and there's a girl on the same side of the street as you, and she's walking her dog. Well, she's got a cute little dog, and she's looking at you with those googly eyes and all pretty and everything, but she's also got really short shorts on, and she's got a tank top on. Well, you have the choice to look at her, desire her, maybe even once she's done walking, turn around and look back at her. You can do that, or you can be strong and you can look down. You can look up at the sky, the beautiful sky God has created, or you can look at her dog. I mean, anything like that. But I think we need to realize that we need to always be ready to face the devil and to always put on the armor of God, as it mentions in Ephesians 6. Well, another question I think we should ask is, how do I know when I have lusted? Whether we realize it or not, we may not realize we've lusted until we've actually lusted. We've actually sinned. A good way to stop, I believe a good way to stop and a good way to be safe and to not get close to that, is to never look twice at that guy or girl. If you see that they're in inappropriate clothing, if you see they're beautiful to behold, don't look twice. Don't look back. So you may not accidentally slip and fall into Satan's trap. There's a really good song that I like, and the lyrics go like this. "We've made it too easy to excuse everything we do as acceptable, or that it's just like everyone else. The popularity of something does not excuse it. We cannot live a life of sliding. Let us walk straight forward, eyes focused on our destination, body armored for the battle, soul ready for the fight." I think that has a lot of depth to it, and I really appreciate that song. One little thing I do need to be careful about is sometimes I put the song ahead of the Bible. I need to realize that the Bible is my only guidance and not the songs. But I use the song as inspiration and edification to study the Bible more. But the topic I want to talk about in this song is it says the popularity of something does not excuse it. I'm in Mr. Miller's class in English, and he taught me a word, obsolete. Obsolete means old-fashioned or out-of-date. Antonyms for it would be contemporary or in-date, if you will. But I think we need to realize that although some people might think that, you know, our church is obsolete, our church is just old-fashioned, we focus on the old-fashioned things. We do things that other people don't do. Well, even though they might say that, that's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing to be obsolete. I think the contemporary kinds of lifestyles that people live may not be according to God's word. I'd like to talk about our conclusion. If you would, please turn with me to Ephesians 2, 1 through 5. Ephesians 2, 1 through 5. It says this, and you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. There's a lot of important points in that passage, but we need to realize that if we have fallen, if we have lusted, if we have sinned, by the grace of God, we can still be saved. But there's a catch to that. We can only be saved if we truly repent, if we truly change our actions. If there is any one of you tonight who realizes that you have lusted, you have fallen into temptation, you have sinned, there's no better time than tonight to fix that. We realize in 2 Peter 3:10, maybe, that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. We realize, looking at that that passage was written a long time ago, and it didn't give exceptions to alarm systems that we have in our house. You know, they give us a little bit of preparation before the thief actually comes in. But in this verse in 2 Peter 3:10, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. We don't know when it will come, and we won't have time to prepare. So the best time to prepare, I would believe, is right now. I believe that that's the best time to prepare, and we need to do everything we can to get to heaven. If there is any one of you who needs to be baptized, needs to confess their sins to the congregation, we'd encourage you to do that as we stand and as we sing.